Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we're collectively emanating. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'd also like to gift my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance, to you at goldenkey.gift, where you can get the audio or ebook as my gift by using the code POSITIVEHEAD at checkout. All right, all you positive heads, welcome back to another episode. Here we go again. This is part two with Christopher Jackson, helping to steer the ship, if you will, taking a question from Peggy about good and bad. We started it on the last daily episode, so if you haven't listened to that yet, you may want to go back and listen to that one first, because this is really a continuation. Even though we go into a lot, Chris goes into some really deep wisdom and insights. This is an extension of that last daily episode. So like I said, go back and listen, although you can listen to them separately, together would be ideal.
Gosh, where were we? But let's bring this back to ground it in here. We were talking about rationality. Yeah. And judgment categorization. So basically, as soon as, as an example, if you do something to me, or let's say that you are dishonest with me and you say something and I find like, oh, that you weren't being truthful, right? And I call you a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Often what that immediately does, the impact of that in my relationship to you, is that I put you in a box calling you a liar. And basically, in that moment, I devalue all of the other aspects of you.
Mm-hmm.
I take them out of my awareness. Because now I've just simplified you into this category. Right. And like the reason I used the atom in a sense was because I've just collapsed you, like that you're infinitely expansive. You could be a liar, a thief. You could be a hero, and how many of us, I think we see this now in like our storytelling today, like TV series and films, is that, where things used to be really black and white, we're really now kind of, immersing ourselves in the gray. Right. Seeing that, that people actually, flip back and forth. They may seem good in some senses and seem bad in others. It's like none of us are typically fall on one side.
Constance, right.
Right. And so as soon as I call you a thief and I now dismiss all other potential value of you, I'm basically cutting myself off. On me is that I'm no longer able to be present to all of the gifts that you are.
Right.
Because I've just rationalized you. I've literally put you into a ration of the whole that you are.
Right.
Right. Ration is like a piece.
Yep.
So it's like you're a whole pie and I just made you a slice.
Right.
And now I'm only going to be able to interact with you and have you available to me as a resource based on my perception of you as that slice rather than as the whole of you. Right.
Right.
And so in my dismissing all of that other stuff, I'm diminishing the value of you and the value that I'm able to receive from you.
The possibility. Right.
Right. So I've now collapsed possibility into a reality of my rational perspective. And that's right. The real danger, I think, in taking, these rational interpretations or perspectives as truth.
Right.
Rather than being able to, I think there's still use in some of these terminologies, but until we actually really see what the impact is of those things on on us, you know, from a more bird's eye view, then literally we keep ourselves in that domain of living in hell, living in, you know, at the mercy of material consciousness, being spirit under the burden of it, rather than being spirit, you know, that gets to use that cross. Right. Because remember, this cross, the cross section is literally the place through which we're able to present our gifts into the present. It's literally right. The conduit to source or God expressing itself in the moment. We're fountains. When you think about it, like we have this life force flowing through us. And whether we're holding an idea, and this is where I think the mind becomes so important and why I'm so passionate about getting people really masterful in how they're using their minds and how they're using mm-hmm. language mm-hmm. so that we can really see that our minds become the filter through which the light of our life force pours through, almost like we're film projectors, and our whatever thoughts we're having or beliefs we're having are like the film that our light pours through to project onto the screen of reality.
Right.
So now realizing that if in your mind, you're holding thoughts of a lower vibration. And when I say that, I don't mean to like diminish lower vibration, but just to say mm-hmm. that let's say I'm holding thoughts that have like a negative interpretation around things. And I like to use mm-hmm. the prison of our past perceptions. You know, if we're rooted in the past and survival consciousness, we're always trying to protect ourselves and create a greater capacity for survival, right? Which is where rationality actually can really serve us, because it creates a capacity for simplifying, you know, the complexity of life into a way that it's easier for us to survive. But now expanding on that and looking at, so if we're holding ideas from the prison of our past perceptions, you know, and limited beliefs around ourselves and others, then that's literally what we project out onto the screen of reality to get to experience and for others to experience.
Right.
It gets reflected back to us, right? In that we've just created, like if I'm holding a negative interpretation around life, that let's say that everybody's out to get me, or that, you know, life is kill or be killed, then mm-hmm. I'm going to operate from that place in my relating to you, right?
Yep.
And then immediately, if I'm operating from that place, you experience my fear, right? And you reflect it back to me. And part of the trick of this whole, you know, and mind fuck, if I hope it's okay for me to use that word.
The technical term?
Yeah. is that we don't actually, we see the reflection as a validation for right. our beliefs,
as opposed to a creation,
rather than actually seeing that we are creating it. And that's part of the trick of our consciousness. Then I would actually point my finger at you and blame you for this kill or be killed paradigm, when actually I'm the one that just informed you what role you were going to play with me.
Right.
And I don't take responsibility for it. Instead, I'm constantly displacing my responsibility externally onto you and to others, you know, when I am in fact creating it.
Well said.
And so now getting, thanks. You know, getting present to that, we then get into like, so if I'm now holding ideas from a future planet of paradise for us all, and I relate to you from that place, let's say that you were even living in a hellish domain in your own life, right? And I think most of us can relate to this, that there have been times when we're feeling really challenged by our experiences, and then some magical being will show up in our lives that is so open,
so full of love and expressing that onto us that we literally find ourselves in heaven in their presence.
Right.
Right? They've actually just shifted our reality in this microcosm of experience that we're having with one another. Right? And so that's the power that our minds have. And really, this all gets to where I like to say, like, I think as the more aware we become of these different domains to reality and how these domains serve us and operate, you know, we can begin to use them in their highest sense, right? In a way to create the most beautiful, the most divine experience for ourselves and each other. Greatest possible outcomes. You know, and so you see, like, for our material existence and taking care of our physical forms, this material context of live and evil or good and bad, however you want to look at it, it's fine, right? But then when we move outside of ourselves in terms of dealing with others, you know, getting that good and bad actually is this rationalization that cuts us off from the wholeness and the fullness of life, literally turning us into zombies. And I love that allegory too, because you see zombies are like these undead, right? They're neither living nor dead. In essence, our fear of death, our fear of the dark and of death, and quantifying that as something bad, cutting ourselves off from that aspect of life, actually makes it so we're not really living.
Right.
Because we're all in fear of ourselves being discovered as lacking. We're all in fear of each other. Right. And we're constantly using this. So remember I said that I'm starting to give different pieces here that lock us into the frequencies of the planet of paradise, you know, or heaven versus hell.
Mm-hmm.
That there are certain, like, operating, how do I say this? I'm almost sharing ways to triangulate, you know, using actions, thoughts, and feelings, becoming so aware of how those all operate with each other that we can all triangulate to hold this perfected place of mind in any situation, to always be in the highest service to ourselves and others, right? And one of those distinctions is the difference between force and power.
Right.
Many of us, you know, I'd say most of us on the planet actually think that force is power, right? Like, if I'm able to exert my force over you and be triumphant, then I'm powerful.
Right.
But, and this is where I would say that I think there's a whole new distinction to understanding power that you may not even really believe exists, because we're so used to, you know, force and the whole context of material. Like, in a material sense, like, I exert force over things to get what I want, right? If I want something, I go and I pick it up using force to do it, right? Well, power, like, invite everybody into this new space of looking at power from a place that where force requires a lot of effort, right? And then when you think about force in terms of us getting what we want from others, it's like most of us actually don't really relate to others. We're not experiencing oneness with others. We're actually constantly manipulating others to get what we want.
Right. Yep.
You know, and even like that can sound really kind of nefarious or negative.
But it's not even it's like the way the world works, and it ties into the, as you sort of unlearn this method of getting what you want and move more into a flowing with what seems, you know, flow state, what seems to be a natural way for things to progress. I think it's something for me, I know I've had to really unlearn using force and moving more into flow. And it makes it,
And I'm still, it's a work in progress because it's something that's deeply ingrained in all of us, I think, you know, forcing my way to get what I want, you know, manipulating, right. Not necessarily in a nefarious way, like you said, but it's the way the world works, right? And instead letting things come, you know, come to you instead of you always going out and trying to, you know, tackle it. And it seems to be, as you play with this approach, such a more powerful, a true, authentic, powerful way to create what you want to see in your world.
Right. Yeah. So now this distinction of power, and this is what I like to say to people, is how would you like to get everything you want with grace and ease?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, sure. Sign me up. Right.
Yeah.
Where does that? The funny thing is, yeah. Then, you know, often the next things that I'll begin to share are actually going to go against what most people will believe possible. It immediately, if you're operating from a material sense, brings up a lot of skepticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's this whole idea of, if I say that you can have everything that you want with grace and ease, you know, you have all of these resistances of being like, yeah, sure, right. You know, that sounds great, but you know, you're talking about a utopian world like that. That has no place in this world. You want something here, you have to work for it. Right.
Right.
You know, and the funny thing is that it, you know, it's true and not true at the same time. And it's only as true as your consciousness is locked into.
Yep. You know, it's just like projecting the film of your life. Like you were talking about a little bit earlier, that whole idea. It's like, yeah, if that's a story you're telling, it's true.
Right. And then using the reflection to be the evidence to support your point of view, instead of seeing that they're self-reinforcing, you know, you're thinking that it's somehow, how should I say it? Validating you, but it's not validation. It's actually, you're getting to see the impact of your point of view, your perspective.
Right.
You know, and the more we begin to actually see this whole world as a hologram and get connected to our power and how we literally create the space for that atom to show up, right?
Yeah.
That it's corresponded to our observation. However, we're basically telegramming or telegraphing, you know, our beliefs into the present moment to be reflected back to us.
Right.
Without being present to it or responsible for it.
And unconsciously doing it. Most people are creating their world unconsciously in this way.
Yeah. And so the beauty of this is, so power, basically the way you get everything you want with grace and ease is that, and this comes back to, we've talked about communication before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like I get some of this stuff was really empowered for me through the whole like landmark education system and, you know, a lot of that technology. Where mm-hmm. they actually say that everything that you want is available for communication.
Mm.
Right. And, you know, and they shared that I'm such like a stickler for etymology. You know, I love looking at words and breaking them apart and seeing like, what does this word, you know, mean? Like, what's the dictionary definition? And then, you know, then what's the etymological definition? What are the components of this word? You know, and with communication, it's brilliant because you break that apart and it's, wow. I was like, wow, this is powerful. Co means with, mune is oneness, occasion is the action of, word means is the action of being one with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're using force at all, or you're using your words or your expression in an attempt to get what you want, you are immediately coming from the opposite
mm-hmm.
of the word communication. You're coming from a context of separation. You're looking to use force in a sense, you know, and maybe force sounds like a strong word for this, but you're essentially looking to use your words in a certain way and your expression to get something. This immediately discounts faith and trust, right? It's like, I don't have faith and trust in other and faith and trust in my reality to give me what I want. I have to take it. Somehow. And then immediately what I do is I turn you into the object separate from me to getting what I want. Right?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And
totally.
And so that comes from the context of separation. Well, if I'm actually being communication, I don't have to try anything. If you're experiencing oneness with me, you want me to have everything that I want because I'm you.
Right. Yep.
I don't have to work at anything. So, you know, it's like I could sit here in a whole conversation trying to convince you of something like Brandon, you know, I think you should come to this thing with me next week. You're really going to enjoy it. You know, it's going to be so amazing. And like, you need this. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, like, I'm creating a context where I'm like, I'm selling you on something. Right.
Yep.
Response or reaction though, like I tend to feel when somebody is coming at me in that way is like, one, there's something wrong here, or they're trying to sell me something. They have an objective to accomplish. Mm.
Yep.
And I'm no longer a person in this conversation. I'm an object.
Right.
Right. And I immediately feel somehow diminished in a way. And sometimes I can't even put my, you know, words around it or like convey that to myself or other, but it just doesn't feel good to me. It's like, even if I give you what you want now, I feel like lesser for it.
Yeah.
You know, because it was expected of me.
Right.
You know, versus now look at like the whole empowering context to being communication and what that looks like. Most of us don't even have access to this or a belief that it would work. But it's like, I'm like, oh my God, Brandon, I am so excited about going to this thing next week. It's going to be amazing. And I would so love to have like you there to experience this with me.
Yeah.
Is there a heaviness to that?
Not at all. Yeah. It's totally different.
Instead, you're actually like, you get wrapped up in my joy and enthusiasm that I'm sharing with you and my excitement.
Mm.
And you actually want to be a part of it.
Right.
Right? And you want to be a part of that joy, excitement, and enthusiasm with me and contributing to me holding that frequency. Right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. No, I think this is such a powerful thing to realize because, you know, we spend so much of our time in our society teaches us to, you know, convince others to see things from our perspective. And I know I've done a lot of it, you know, a lot of like working in sales and just unlearning some of that and just like, you know, it's back to here's the highest vision of it. I want to experience this with you. Wouldn't it be great? And then letting what should flow from there flow from, you know, as opposed to trying to like force something to happen. And right. the irony in that is then it's much more likely to happen than taking the other approach.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, again, I say that there's a bunch of different words and things that kind of are navigation tools to knowing when you're in this space of being the space for magic and miracles, you know, and grace and ease versus when you aren't. Cause sometimes like you can start to like take some of these tools that I share and become a more powerful manipulator with them.
Mm-hmm.
Your material consciousness or your ego in this sense, it's subconscious, gets a hold of these tools and it's like, oh yeah, I can use these to get what I want, you know, even more powerfully. But as soon as you come at it from that perspective, you're again being separation.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, oh, the tools don't work, but no, it's actually that who you're being and using the tools isn't working.
Yeah. Right.
It's like
right.
Really, you can't escape yourself again. You can't escape your own want. Your own want is constantly going to be reflected back to you as lack. Right.
Right.
But when you move into a space of faith and trust, and this is where, you know, all of these words begin to actually have so much more profound meaning and usefulness to us. And it's like, another way of looking at this is, do I have an attachment to an outcome?
Right.
If I have an attachment to an outcome, then I'm actually still wanting. I'm still, you know, I'm still not in full faith and trust. And then there's things like commitment. And this is the other thing. Once we all begin to really wake up to how powerful we are.
This, you know, I got to interject real quick because last night I heard a quote for the first time that I just loved. And it's this, it's from the Bhagavad Gita. And it's to act well is to act without attachment to the fruits of your actions.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing is like, see, this is the thing is so often, you know, if we're committed to something, this is when I was saying like getting present to your power, when you're really committed to something, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
You make it happen.
Yeah. Right.
If it doesn't happen, it'll happen the next one. Right.
Right. Right.
If it doesn't happen then, it'll happen on the next one. If it doesn't happen then, it'll happen on the next one. But when you're really committed to something, there's no failure. There's just feedback.
Right.
And each experience is bringing you one step closer to the fulfillment of your commitment. Right. So whenever we don't have something, right, it's and we're like giving up on it, then it's just we weren't really committed to it.
Right.
Right. So if that, like, once you start to really become present to that and aware, because we all have that. If we're really committed to something, we make it happen or die in the process.
Right. Right. You only lose when you quit.
there's no failure, right?
Right,
right. You know, in many cases, people have given their entire lives, you know, to a cause, and their life has actually, you know, been a part of creating a huge impact.
Yeah, a platform for maybe someone else to reach. Right, right, exactly.
Whether they were there to actually experience the full fulfillment of that commitment or not is irrelevant.
Right.
Because if that is really of utmost importance to you, then nothing else matters.
Right.
Waking up to that, then here's the other thing is like whenever you're using your rational mind again and you're attached to an outcome, like if I'm saying, you know, I really want somebody to go with me, you know, on this trip next week, right? So that I can have a bunch of fun. I want somebody who's going to be fun. And I now pick you as the person who that has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I make that what I'm committed to.
Mm-hmm.
The means for me to have that amazing trip and share it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what I've just done is I've closed off the universe's ability to give that to me in the way that is the most high, the greatest possible outcome.
Which oftentimes may be from an angle that you're not seeing, right? This is something that I talk about a lot. It's like you don't really get to see the chessboard the way your higher self or source or whatever you want to call it does. So we're always getting in the way, I feel, with being attached to these stories of, okay, here's how it's going to go. Here's how it needs to unfold. And it's right back to just sort of like maybe having some of these ideas, but then letting them go, letting go with the attachment and saying this or something better or some other way. Or what have you? It's sort of inevitable to get the underlying result in the specifics of that. Or, you know, I'm sort of detached from.
Yeah, and very often what you'll end up doing is like even if I get you to come, like let's say you had other plans and there was something else that was really important to you, but like I use all means I have to get you to agree to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you going to be in the best space to deliver on the most you know, amazing experience?
Right.
Or now maybe you come on that trip with me and you're constantly thinking about the other things that you left behind, you know, and you're not fully there with me. And then, and then it's like, God, I didn't really get what I wanted. I got what I wanted, but didn't really get what I wanted.
Right. Right.
Right. Because I was attached to the means. But if I have no attachment and I share it with you and you're like, gosh, you know, that sounds great. I've got these other things going on right now. I'm like, oh yeah, no worries. I want to share the opportunity with you and invite you and share that opportunity now with two or three other people.
Right.
And without an attachment to the result, maybe one of them is like, you know what?
I have this person that you just have to meet who I think would be amazing for this trip.
Yeah.
And then that person comes along who I haven't even met before. I didn't even see that as a possible means to me getting what I wanted, but it ends up becoming like the trip of a lifetime. You know, and this person was like the perfect tour guide because they used to live in the Amazon or something, you know? And so they're showing me everything on a level that, you know, I wouldn't have gotten with anybody else in my circle.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a great example of like how, when we operate, there are ways of being that will create spaces for us to have the greatest possible outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're not having faith and trust, and when we're forcing, using force, we actually, you know, oftentimes really limit the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to our myopic view of what we think is what we want, when very often, in that case, what I wanted wasn't necessarily you to come. What I really ultimately wanted was somebody to share the trip with and have an amazing time.
Right. There's an underlying idea or energy that you had projected onto me as one who could deliver it. But meanwhile, there's infinite ways that same underlying experience can be delivered.
Right. And so it's actually learning to live in the grace and glory and the divine of holding our intentions and our commitments to what it is that we are ultimately committed to, mm-hmm. rather than trying to force a limited way of how we see that happening. You know, if you want to have miracles and magic, then stay centered in a place that allows miracles and magic to happen for you.
That makes sense. Well, I got to say, how is that for an answer, Peggy? What I think I'll do, we went, Chris, I should know with you, I'm going to get like so much powerful content. And we're over an hour here. So what I'll probably do is break the... Yeah, which is good. It's beautiful. There's no wrong. There's no right. It's wonderful. I'll break this into a couple episodes is what I'll do. And unless you have anything sort of last to tie it together that you want to add, you know, I would love to hand over the DJ booth to you and let you choose a song. I know you had a song that you felt really resonated with the original question, which I guess will be the previous episode once by the time this comes out. But anything else you want to add here at the end or just intro the song?
Well, you know, I think maybe we can actually do both in the same thing here. Achieve two means with one thing. It's that this song is it's by an artist named Fink, and I'm not sure what the intended meaning was from the artist's perspective of it. It's called "This Is the Thing," you know, and there's a. But the relevance to what I think we've been talking about today is really profound, and it speaks very simply to some of the stuff we've been talking about in regards to like the material domain and, you know, the etheric. And you know, he has a few lines in here. I'm paraphrasing, and forgive me if I don't get them, you know, spot on, but it's something to the effect of the things that keep us apart keep me alive. Right. It's like material. And then I look at this as like our material separation, the thing and material consciousness, the things that keep us apart, keep me alive. And the things that keep me alive, keep me alone.
Hmm. Interesting.
Right. Like the survival consciousness, having that consciousness perceive myself as separate from you keeps me in a space of always feeling alone. That
very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, and then I have to use force to get what I want. And then in that, I'm constantly using actions that are just going to keep reinforcing that reality to me. You know, and then I'll have people not living up to my expectations, and then I'll constantly feel dissatisfied with life. Aren't happening the way that I want them to. Rather than realizing that, you know, things will happen in the way, how should I say this?
what I ultimately want, if I no longer want it, but I have full faith and trust in my power to create it through my commitment, then I don't have to attach myself to the means in which it's going to happen. I just begin to share my joy and excitement and enthusiasm with others.
Mm-hmm.
The coming of this happening. And the people, you know, people will be moved, touched, and inspired and enrolled in that joy, excitement, and enthusiasm. And it creates a space for the greatest possible outcomes. And for me to constantly be in a state of like wonder and awe, because how I thought something was going to go, and maybe I think we've all had this experience too before, where the actual, when we've been open-minded to really create a space for things to go beyond, the universe often will give us something so much grander than anything that we ever conceptualized as possible before.
Right.
And I think we'll leave it with that. So thank you so much, Brandon. And yeah, and thank you, Peggy, for that question.
Yeah, it's a good one. We had it. The funny thing is we had another one queued up. That's beautiful, though, because it leaves us something to answer next time. You and I have discussed, Chris and I have discussed having him on as one of the regulars here. And I appreciate your willingness to come on and share your beautiful, profound insight. You're such a beautiful reflection, my friend. And I look forward to next time.
Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, and thank you so much, Brandon. Yeah, it's likewise. You're amazing, and I really appreciate the opportunity and the support.
Much love, my friend. Until next time, journey well.
You too. Bless.
Hope you guys have enjoyed this wonderful insight and wisdom from Chris, and definitely you can see why I want to bring him on and continue to bring him on. He's a good friend of mine and has a lot to share, and hopefully it's helped Peggy with this question, even though I know we're diving way beyond that and into that further, both simultaneously.
I don't know if you notice anything. It's getting dark and it's getting cold, and the nights are getting long. And I don't know if you even notice at all that I'm long gone, babe. I'm long gone. And the things that keep us apart keep me alive. The things that keep me alive, keep me alone. Anything missing, like the leaves on the trees, on my clothes, all over the floor. And I don't know if you even notice at all, 'cause I was real quiet when I closed the door. And the things that keep us apart keep me alive. The things that keep me alive keep me alone. Anything different? know if you'll even notice. Hello. And I don't know if you'll notice anything. Yeah.